most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com. Wow, it's good to be back. This is Tamara Montana filling in for Max Tucci tonight. We want to give a shout out to Max and say, hey, how are you? He's taking it easy tonight, so we want to send him lots of love and just welcome everybody back to the inner circle here with Max and Friends. As you guys all know, that being a part of listening ear into whatever Max has going on, it's always a party. It's always exciting. There's always something very stimulating going on with him. So I know he's been covering a lot of political things with the election coming up, but as you can always count on, Max comes from the heart and shares what's on his and invites you guys to share your heart. So as I am back here again filling in for him tonight, I come to you guys with my heart, and I've got my husband Greg, who's going to be joining us here, speaking from the heart as well, and really diving in and connecting to meaningful conversations, meaningful connections, meaningful experiences, which is what our soul is craving. And, you know, there's nothing like the present. There's nothing like now. There's nothing like going, wait, what's going on with the world? What's going on with me? What's going on in relationships? What's going on in our career? What makes life worth living? What makes it meaningful? And one of the things that Greg and I recently stumbled across was a documentary on Netflix. It was called Happiness, and actually what they did was went around and did interviews of people all over the world, and they were looking for the ingredients that actually had people or showed or demonstrated people that were the happiest people on the planet. And one of the things we found that was so interesting was it didn't have a lot to do with socioeconomic background. It didn't have a lot to do with, you know, whether you were good looking or not, whether you were athletic or not, you know, which is a lot of the things that we would consider, oh, of course I would be happy if only this. But what we found, and what the documentary found, that was more of an outside in, something that was dictating to you what was supposed to make you happy. And a lot of advertising, a lot of marketing is built around this, you know, with that false belief that, boy, if you just had this product, if you just looked this way, or you had these friends or whatever, that is guaranteed to make you happy, and that, you know, tends to have you buy their product. But what they found more than ever was people who were connected with family and friends were the happiest people on earth. And I mean, I'm going to have Greg share a little bit here too, because there's just extraordinary interviews that took place. And one of the things that stood out for us this morning, we were actually listening to Joel Osteen. I don't know if anybody is familiar with him, but you know, one of the things he was talking about is one of my favorite analogies of all time. And that is that if you're going to make up one of the most delicious desserts, okay, just take for example, you know, chocolate chip cookies. Any one ingredient by itself is very, very, very distasteful, right? So if you were to take a spoonful of flour and, you know, take that in, it'd be gross. It's dry. It's pasty. If you took a stick of butter and you just ate that just by itself, it's blah. And then you just had a bite of raw eggs and then washed it down with some vanilla and threw on a little baking soda, you know, and then somehow in your stomach, there was supposed to be an experience of chocolate chip cookies, right? Well, it's just like in life, you know, any one event, any one circumstance in life, whether it's, you know, I got cancer, whether I lost a loved one, whether a boyfriend, a girlfriend broke up with you, you know, whatever it is in life that can be very distasteful, if you can imagine it's just part of the ingredients. And if you're not experiencing a life that you love to sink your teeth into, like that chocolate chip cookie, the real experience of that when it comes out of the oven, one of the things that can be missing is maybe a piece of that ingredient. And part of what makes life so delicious is being able to integrate, being able to stir up and mix all of those ingredients together, which make up the batter of your life. And then when you put it in the fire of the oven, when it's in there, when it's baking, when it's becoming what it's becoming, you know, whether you're in college, whether you're in school, whether you're at a job, whether you're building a family, you know, that's the incubation time when something is just forming, coming together, so that when that aroma comes out, you're like, wow. Now, this is the experience I signed up for when I came down on this planet Earth to have an experience. So one of the things we want to take a look at tonight is, what's your chocolate chip cookies? You know, what's your most decadent dessert? And what are the ingredients that are maybe still missing? What does it take to integrate whatever it is that you've been through for you to be able to have the perspective, wow, it's all in divine order? You know, a lot of the things that Greg and I were talking about earlier or later in the summer on this show was about forgiveness, you know, and that's, to me, that is the chocolate chips. You know, that is the yummy part of any dessert that says, wow, I'm going to live my life free of burden. And one of the best ways I know to be able to do that is to be able to let things go, to be able to go, wow, you know, this is in divine order, and I wonder what's going to happen next. I wonder, because I've been blessed with this ordeal, or I've been blessed with this orientation, whatever your sexual orientation is, whatever your, you know, abuses are in life, whatever your joys are in life, whatever, privileges are you've been given, or disadvantages you've been given, whatever syndrome you've been diagnosed with. What is it that has made you exquisite, that's made you uniquely you and divine? And how is it that you can look in the mirror and see those eyes looking back at you, be able to say, yes, you're awesome. You're perfect. You're perfect exactly as you are. It reminds me of that song, you're amazing just the way you are. And if perfect is what you're looking for, then don't change a thing, because you're just right, just as you are. What if that were the truth? How would you imagine your outlook would be with your family, with your job, or with your business, with the people that you interact with at Starbucks, with the people in the grocery store, with the events, with the concerts that you attend? What would be available if you knew the truth of your own perfection? And what if the way you saw that perfection was taking off the foggy lens, the foggy glasses of resentment for what you've been handed, for what you've been given? What if it actually was perfect? Just breathe that in. I mean, can you imagine? Wow, that would be amazing. In fact, with that, I'm going to ask my amazing, perfect husband to pull up his mic, and I'm going to ask him to join us. And Mr. Greg, are you there? Welcome to the studio.
I am amazing and perfect, huh? So I like that. That boy, you guys want to talk about forgiveness. That is a level of forgiveness above and beyond when you can refer to your spouse that way. But that has more to do with you than me, my dear. And I love what you were talking about. You know, it's so tightly wound together: happiness, family, and forgiveness. And you know, with that documentary that we were watching, not only talked about the happiest people on the planet, it talked about the most miserable people on the planet. And geographically, they cited that the most miserable people on the planet live in cultures where there's tremendous oppression. In Japan, is potentially one of those cultures. I'm not saying that there aren't any happy people in Japan. And they said Denmark was the happiest place, of course, because they had all this community going on. And I can resonate with that. You know, I've lived in some incredibly beautiful places on the planet where there was a lot of discord with family and I wasn't happy. And right now I'm living in, you know, a spot on the planet that isn't as beautiful out by the ocean as I'm used to, but there's so much family around and it makes life rich, and you don't notice the outer circumstances as much when you have that inner richness and that inner happiness. So, one of the things about forgiveness is that we've talked about in the past is, how do you forgive when you can't forget? You know, if something traumatic happened to you, you'll never forget that. In fact, people, you know, when we're going to hold a grudge, we say, I will never forget what you did to me. Well, so forgiveness is, there's something superhuman about it where you still remember what happened. But the term technically means the renunciation of, say, or cessation of resentment, indignation, or anger as from a perceived offense. So, you know, and they use that word perceived. So when I forgive somebody, what am I actually doing? And could you imagine everything? I mean, you know, in this country, we don't have as many problems with it, but we have cultural, you know, out in the Middle East and in some of these countries, we have cultures that have been unforgiving for hundreds of years, killing each other and each other's families. What hope do they have for forgiving each other? Like, how do you even get forgiveness into some of those cultures? How do you even introduce it when, you know, they've sworn to kill each other on first sight? And then with family, you know, your family are people that you can't renounce them. You know, your brother's your brother. We can do a blood test. You can say, I renounce you, but I can still tell that it's your brother. So, you know, these are all things we want to touch on tonight, and we welcome any callers.
Absolutely.
For LA Talk Radio and Max Tucci's show tonight, where Tamara's covering for him. Mm-hmm. And so if you do want to call in, Tamara, do you have the number for callers?
You know what? I do. And in the meantime, while you're looking that up right now, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, the different cultures that have carried long, 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 long-term resentments, it comes out in their experience. And one of the things when they were interviewing Japan has had that long-term resentment ever since we dropped the bomb, Hiroshima, on Japan. They've done those studies, and over time, literally, they will work themselves to death to where their heart ends up stopping. And they are one of the most, you know, unhappy people. And you know what? With that, because the number just came up here, that number is 323-203-0815. And we also have a wonderful surprise. And we've got Max on the line. Max, are you here with us?
Tamara, of course I'm here with you.
Oh, my goodness. Max, welcome. It's good to have you on your
show.
Thank
you. Hi, Greg. Hi, Tamara. Thank you both for being on tonight. And, you know, Tamara, just the way you set this up tonight, you know, it's in the ethers, it's in the vibe right now of forgiveness, of being in the path of loving one another. You know, we've got these kooky elections coming up right now. And it's just a time where I think, you know, y'all are taking control of the show tonight. Mm-hmm. I feel like Oprah calling in to my own show. I'm turning over the stage to you. But it's true. You know, we need that forgiveness now. You know, and it feels good. So I love these feel-good shows, these life classes on Max and Friends. So thank you, Tamara and Greg, for holding down the studio tonight.
Oh, absolutely, Max. It's our pleasure.
You know, gratitude makes the show go. But we've got to say hi to all of our Twitter followers. I'm not in the studio tonight, everyone. I'm calling by phone because today my mother was honored for all of her lovely work that she does and all of her dedication for her orphanage in Lithuania. So I'm spending the evening with her, and I've got my phone, and I'm calling in to Max and friends, and it feels good. So if you all want to call in, the number, like Tamara said, is 323-203-0815. And if you all want to tweet me, I am on Twitter, so tweet me at Max Tucci, and I'll get back to you, because I know our listeners love Twitter. But I know that you guys got such an important message tonight to really break the shackles off people's feet so they can dance, because it's time, people. So, Tamara and Greg, I'm going to turn it over to you, and I love you both for helping me out when I'm not in the studio, and that's what Max and Friends is all about. You know, and that's why we have this inner circle that we've created, that Tamara actually helped me create and coin the inner circle. So if you see us on latalkradio.com/max.php, and the Max is a capital M, lowercase a, lowercase x. You'll see all of our inner circle friends there. Dr. Maya Love is one of them, and I know at the end of the show, Tamara, you're going to turn the show over to her, and we have the October Vedic horoscopes for everyone. So I know we're a little bit late, but like I like to joke and say, Tamara, like a period, better late than never.
Absolutely, and you're always where you're supposed to be, right?
That's right, and where we are now is exactly where we are supposed to be. So I'm supposed to be hanging up the phone so that you guys can take over the show and really teach people, because, you know, this has become like a life class. I don't know if we're at 4 or 5 with this show now, but forgiveness, you know, it's funny because when I listen to all the back shows, because the archives are there almost 5 years, and we have all of these shows of you and Greg teaching people forgiveness, it's really amazing how even though it takes 5 or 6 shows to teach people how to do it, once you get it done, people, you got it. You know, once you understand the fundamentals of forgiving, it'll be easy to do. And it's like that hard conversation, you know, like we talked about on prior show. You got to be able to have that hard conversation with people, because when you have hard conversations, or if you have those conversations for forgiveness, what you're doing is you're talking to the people that mean something to you. You're talking to people that you love, and you're talking to people that you respect. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a hard conversation. So keep that in mind, and always be willing to be wrong. And listen to other people. And the biggest one, too, is make sure the other person's ready. Because just because you feel like you listen to Tamara and Greg on Max and Friends, and you've got that zeal, and you've got that power, and you've got that electric cord, and you want to forgive everyone in your life, and they're not ready for you to come over, y'all are going to have another fight.
Yeah.
So invite them into your forgiving spirit, into your forgiving notion and into your forgiving motion, that you want to get into the flow that we all could be on, where we all just love one another, right?
Oh my gosh, Max, that is so beautifully said. Thank you so much for that. And stumble and bumble. I mean, go into it like, you know what? I don't even know what to say right now. In fact, I'm shaking on the inside. I don't know. My heart's about ready to burst. If you just get in touch with your feelings, and that vulnerability can sometimes just be that invitation that allows the other person's heart to just open like a flower.
Great to hear your voice, Max.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you know what? We've actually got another caller. Caller, are you with
cool.
us? Hi, you're on Max and Friends with Greg and Tamara Montana. Okay. It looks like it's coming from a 702 area code. Hey, you're with us? Okay, so we will gladly let them in on our conversation here.
You know, while you were talking, Tamara, I actually looked this up. The term for sudden death from being overworked, it's actually a real problem in Japan right now, is karoshi. And what happens is people who aren't able to stop and connect with family, stop and process emotion where everything's going so fast, and there's such a culture where we don't get to actually even digest what's happening. People will actually die of, like, immediately without any previous sign of illness. And it's becoming a pretty big problem out there. They're just like, it's almost like you just die of grief or being overworked. And for me, that means, you know, what is forgiveness? You know, for me, it means to give as before. It means to let things go so that they can be back where they were before. You know, one of the myths is that in order to forgive, you have to forget, or that forgiveness excuses the offense. But the fact is, when we forgive, we're doing it for our own health, to free ourselves from the negative emotions that of regret and offense. And so, you know, when you think of Karoshi, this sudden death syndrome from being overworked, and you think of, like, what's going on there? Regrets aren't being acknowledged. They're not being dealt with. They're not being processed. People are under huge pressure, and they're not dealing with them. We know in this country we get huge pressures. So what are you dealing with at home? Who's the person that's costing you everything? They say forgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. So what poison have you been drinking, and with whom? If you're interested in processing that with us, Tamara actually has written a book on forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. It's actually like experiential. It's in story format. Mm-hmm. It was written for children of all ages from 8 to 90, mm-hmm. or 18 months to 90. Mm-hmm. So think about it. Think about it. Tamara, do you have any exercises? You know, what can people actually go through step by step? I mean, I'm a scientific person, and for the people that are scientifically minded out there, as you say, you expect me to forgive this person? I know what happened. I want to see them suffer. What can you say to somebody to help free themselves from that?
Well, and that's a really good point, because they've actually done studies of people who have gotten revenge, even through the court system, justice, when they've actually sat in on someone who was given a lethal injection for doing a crime. And they interview them afterwards, and they said, did it do what you thought it was going to do for you? And unanimously, every time, no, I thought it was going to give me some kind of relief to see someone pay for something, for justice to have finally been done. And yet the same feeling inside is still that emptiness. So one of the things we want to do is honor your pain, you know, honor whatever it is that you've been through, honor whatever it is that you've lost. You don't want to just gloss over it and say, oh, forgive and forget and bury it. And no, absolutely not. There is an honoring that can take place when you allow yourself to go through the steps, go through the process of going, oh my gosh, I was so hurt by this experience. It could even be a natural disaster. You know, it doesn't even have to be a person. You can actually connect your feelings to God, you know, being the ultimate, you know, if he, God Almighty, could allow something like this. A lot of times people carry resentment towards God, you know, being the ultimate authority. Or so some people perceive. So being able to actually be honest with those kind of feelings and to just let it out and just to let it come from your gut, almost like a wolf, you know, does like it's howling to the moon. It's something that you pull up from the bottom of your toes, from the depth of your gut, from the center, the core of your being that just shakes you to the pinpoint of the force that is you, the character that is you, the soul that is you. And I love Mark Twain's quote that he gives, is that forgiveness is like the fragrance that is released from the flower by the heel that has crushed it. You know, there is something, if we can make those distasteful experiences, no matter what they are, by themselves, if we can see that it all contributes to who we get to be, it can shift our perspective. Because really, my book and everything that I'm about is being able to get that beyond this world, there is a world I want. And the world that you want is a world in being able to live like how Mac's mother is able to live. Tonight she is being honored for being able to, for her work that she does with the orphanages. When you are past your pain, when you turn, like what Greg talks about in his book, your pain is your credential. When you turn your pain into a credential, you get to give back. look what Max's mother is doing. She is in the orphanages in Romania. She has been a staple and a big part, a big contributor to those children being able to have a second chance at life. And Max is able to be there and to honor his mother for what she's able to do. And people really get this. This is what's available for you when you're able to let go of resentment, is now a whole new world of opportunity opens up where you actually get to give back. You get to contribute from a fullness versus from a deprivation. Because when you're...
No question. When the way you're describing forgiveness, and you said get into the depth of, you know, your pain and let it out like a howl, like a wolf, we're not talking about pillow pounding here.
Oh, yes, I am. Yes, absolutely.
So,
pillow pound.
Isn't that indulging your anger?
Okay.
Instead of forgiving it?
Absolutely. And I encourage it. And I tell, and this is what I told my students, stay as pissed off as you need to be for as long as you need to be it. Because there is energy in anger. There's energy in grief. There's energy in sadness. You can feel more alive in the throes of that kind of grief. Now, here's the deal. When you, there's one word that you can say to your pain that will have it shortened to days, to hours, or to minutes. And there's another word that you can say that will lengthen your pain from days to weeks to years to decades. And there is, and the one word.
Okay, well, what's the word that shortens your pain?
The word that shortens your pain is saying yes. When you say yes to your pain, and that's what you're talking about, isn't that indulging? Isn't that what? Yeah. And I say, go for it. You indulge,
well,
you submerge yourself.
So what's the difference between indulging my pain and acting out and just, you know, taking a gun and shooting the other person and indulging it the way you're talking about?
Okay. When you say yes to your pain and you feel it to the depths of your being, it has a chance to move through you and out of you. You are literally cracking it up on the inside of you and dispersing it, almost like a starburst. It just literally, it cannot stay in your body when you say yes to the pain.
So what's
underneath the yes to the pain is always a gift. So there's a beautiful gift that's waiting for you. Now, the way that you actually indulge in your pain is to be able to, when you say no, when you say no to the pain, you lock it in place forever until you can say yes. So you can live your entire life, go to your grave, saying no to your pain and be miserable and cry till the day you die. Or you can say yes to your pain, get it out of your system, honor it, feel it, and let it move through your body. And then you are free to move on unencumbered, without these bricks in your pocket, without this baggage on the back of your shoulders and the back of your neck, where you are just weighted down by the world. This actually...
So holding a grudge is saying no to your pain.
Exactly.
So forgiveness is saying yes to your pain.
Yes, and honoring it.
But people... So... You know, the whole idea behind forgiveness is that you're freeing yourself from the pain and negativity of all those emotions, right?
Yes, and many times you say, well, you're supposed to forgive and forget. Well, in my world, in my understanding about forgiveness, is that you cannot forget what has happened. But through forgiveness, what it does is it releases the pain inside the memory. So when you release...
I see. So you still have... So people say forget the pain, or forget the perpetration and remember the lesson.
No, and don't forget the perpetration. You remember it, you honor it, and you release the pain. So then it just becomes a matter of fact. It just becomes an ingredient in your batter of life, in your most decadent dessert that goes into making you up. And when you get that and you are biting into your delicious life with all of its juices, with all of its flavor, with its burst of virtues that are able to be expressed through your body. When you are experiencing all of your life in divine order like that, you would never go back and take out that ingredient.
Hi, everyone. This is Maya from VedicAstroLounge.com on Max and Friends, LA Talk Radio, bringing you Vedic Astrological Forecast for October 2012. The planetary positions on the Vedic sky for the month of October 2012 are as follows. Sun is currently transiting Virgo but moves into Libra on October 16th. Mercury is currently transiting Libra and moves into Scorpio on October 24th. Venus is currently transiting Leo and moves into Virgo on October 23rd. Mars is currently transiting Scorpio, its own house, for the entire month of October. Rahu, the north node of the moon, is in Scorpio. Kedu, the south node of the moon, is in Taurus. Jupiter continues to stay in Taurus but gains retrograde motion on October 5th. Saturn is currently transiting Libra and remains exalted. The Vedic sky is divided into 12 signs or houses. All these above planets in the sky are constantly in motion and move through the 12 signs at different speeds. For example, Moon stays in each sign for about 2.5 days. Sun stays in each sign for exactly a month. Mercury stays in each sign for a little more than a month. Venus and Mars stay in each sign for approximately a few months. Out of all these planets, Jupiter and Saturn are the planets that have major impact on each sign because Jupiter stays in each house for almost a year and Saturn stays in each house for 2.5 years. Since these two planets stay in each sign for a long time, they are the ones that have major impact on each sign during their transit. The highlight of this month is the retrograde of Jupiter in Taurus. Jupiter began its retrograde motion on October 4, 2012 and completes its retrograde motion on January 30, 2013. So for 4 months, Jupiter is going to be in retrograde motion. Retrograde planets generally move slower, so all aspects of life associated with the planet also tend to slow down. The energy of retrograde planet is felt strongly and expressed more on an inner level. It makes us to stop and reconsider the consequences of our own creativity.
Hold on.
So on some level, though it may appear that the spontaneous expression is blocked, it is not really blocked, but rather it is redirected inwards to help us rethink the decisions we have made, so it will help us in our creativity. Jupiter is a benefic, so in general, Jupiter contributes to expansion of everything related to life outwards. But during its retrograde motion, you will experience an inward expansion to assist in reaching a new level of understanding and awareness that helps in our creativity and self-expression. Sometimes you may find there is some level of difficulty in expressing the energy outwardly because some energy is being held back in our inner processing. But in the end, it contributes to overall expansion of many aspects of our lives. People who have Jupiter retrograde in their birth chart and those who are currently under the influence of Jupiter's major period will experience a more pronounced effect during this time. In my astrological forecast for each sign, I'll talk about how Jupiter's retrograde motion will affect you. So this is the astrological forecast for you for the month of October 2012 for the 12 Vedic moon signs. Aries, Jupiter is retrograde in your second house. This will make you reevaluate the financial decisions you had made in the past few months and make changes to it that assists you in improving your financial status. Taurus, this is your month. Jupiter is retrograde in your first house. Though Jupiter will continue to bless you in romance, education, and travel, it will offer some challenges that will assist you in self-improvement. Gemini, Jupiter is retrograde in your 12th house. This transit may bring life circumstances that will make you get in touch with your subconscious mind and face your own deepest fears. Cancer, Jupiter is retrograde in your 11th house. Though your income from your career will continue to increase, there may be challenges that will assist you to make wise choices as to how you spend it. Leo, Jupiter is retrograde in your 10th house. In addition to boosting your professional achievements, it will make you see the importance of having integrity and honesty in your work. Virgo, Jupiter is retrograde in your 9th house. Your travels to different places and you meeting new people will expand your own perceptions towards life. Libra, Jupiter is retrograde in your 8th house. This transit might bring some challenges regarding health and intimacy, but these challenges will only assist you to regain your own inner strength to face life. Scorpio, Jupiter is retrograde in your seventh house. Though Jupiter may continue to surround you with friendships and romance, it may also bring some lessons that will help you in strengthening the friendships. Sagittarius, Jupiter is retrograde in your sixth house. It's a time to focus on health and learn to face challenges at work that will help you in your professional goals. Capricorn, Jupiter is retrograde in your fifth house. Though life will be filled with creativity and joy, you may also see some challenges in self-expression. Aquarius, Jupiter is retrograde in your fourth house. During this time, you may find that there is a slowing down of the improvements related to domestic affairs and financial gains. Pisces, Jupiter is retrograde in your third house. During this time, you may find some healthy challenges in communication related to education and business. Though it is important to know the impact of planets based on current temporary transits, it is equally important to get a natal reading based on your birth chart. Because only through your own birth chart you can get to understand your own individual perceptions and attitudes towards the energies of planets and stars in the sky, and also towards everyone you come across in your life. If you would like an in-depth analysis of your birth chart, please feel free to reach me at vedicastrolounge.com. And that brings me to the end of the forecast. Before I leave, I would like to share that from now until the end of the year, we are going to be experiencing some really great, amazing energies that will help us to move forward in life. You'll find that wherever you put your focus on in life will manifest really fast. And make sure that you put your focus on healing yourself, because it's our own healing that helps us in our creativity. When we truly heal, we will access the energies of creativity from within us. That creative power from within us will help us to let go and focus on things that uplifts us and others in this life journey. Have a great time, everyone. Namaste.
Oh, welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much, Ronan. We love to hear of the horoscopes and healing. I just love that Max brings that to everyone because, boy, going inside and getting in touch with what's real, what's true, and what's authentic is what is one of the most healing things that we can do. So whatever resources that comes from, we're open to what works for people. So Greg, are you back with us? Okay, so one of the things we were talking about was how our pain is our credential, and how that when we've been through certain experiences, it really earns us the right to be able to help other people through to the light and to walk this journey alongside each other. So it reminds us too so much that we are not alone in this journey. In fact, I love the analogy of the difference between a diamond and a cubic zirconian. And they both sparkle. They're both beautiful. Yet one is fake. One isn't real. One is very inexpensive. Dime a dozen. And it's man-made, right? And it's perfect. And that would be the cubic zirconian. Now, the difference with the diamond is full of flaws. It's got inclusions in it. You can tell that it's real. It's also priceless. And that's how it is with people. You know, it's not our perfection that connects us. It is our weaknesses. It is our flaws that connect us with other people, that says, ooh, I'm real. I'm authentic. I'm not, you know, a dime a dozen. I'm actually priceless. And there's something exquisite about an exchange with someone else when you get the worth of who you are, when you really are perfect just the way you are, and you get that and you acknowledge the perfection in someone else. It's just like what our horoscope gal was sharing with us. And whenever anyone says namaste, the divine in me honors the divine in you.
So Tamara, it sounds like you're saying that you know, if we connect over our forgiveness, does that mean that all the things that we have to forgive are the goodness of life? It's a real twist of the mind, but there's a lot of things about forgiveness that twist the mind because it is superhuman. You know, it's not like, you know, it makes sense to forgive. It's like literally a powerful act of choice. I remember seeing in a courtroom where there was, some guy who had murdered all of these kids. And one of the parents stood up, and it was the only time he saw any emotion out of this murderer. The parent stood up and looked at him and said, "I forgive you." Because the judge had asked, "Does anybody have anything to say to him?" And the kid burst into tears. It was the only time you saw any emotion out of him throughout the trial. So, you know, are we supposed to be grateful for all those perpetrations that cause us, to have to forgive? Is this some form of masochism or something?
No, but you know what it does is it serves us to see it that way. And it doesn't mean that you go and you celebrate, woohoo, look, you know, I just was lacerated, emotionally, physically even. No, it's not about that. It's still, again, it's about honoring the pain, but knowing that there's a gain. Knowing that there's something so amazing waiting for us on the other side. It's like what you and I were talking about earlier. You know, you don't want to introduce it almost too fast for someone who's not actually ready to hear it, because sometimes they might perceive when you sparkle some light inside of that kind of darkness and it's still part of the dream, they might even consider the light to be part of the nightmare. And there's something exquisite about being able to stretch, being able to wake up out of this dream that this is the reality of who we are. It's not. There's an opportunity for us to actually wake up inside of the dream. That's why I love the movie Inception so much, because, you know, it really twists your mind too when you think about parallel experiences, universes of existence, you know, how deep in the dream, you know, do we go? And I think the more that we do harm to other people, the deeper in the dream we are, the more we are in touch with our soulful nature, the more awake we are to our soul's purpose. And when you're in touch with your soul's purpose, you would never do harm to another, ever.
So all of a sudden forgiveness becomes very complicated, because it's not like, all right, you know, it's a two-step process. You know, the kids in college used to say things. I remember when I was in college, somebody, it's one of the fraternity brothers, approached another one and he said, you know, "You really hurt my feelings," and the response was, "You're over it." And I remember going, oh, that's creative. You know, you just manhandled the forgiveness process. Mm-hmm. And like you said, you can't speed this up. You know, forgiveness is something that you can do or you can request. You know, you could say, you know, "Can you forgive me?" Mm-hmm. And, you know, to someone that's holding a grudge. But it's up to them. And you can't speed it up. Like if somebody said, somebody says, "Can you forgive me?" There's two answers. One is the authentic answer, which may or may not include, you know, "Yes, I can forgive you," or "Yeah, sure, I can forgive you." You know, it's like you can tell the way it's being said whether it's time or not.
Hmm. Well, and you know, really, I think what's more important than even saying the words, okay, when you're actually living an intention of forgiveness, you don't ever have to speak it, because it comes out in your tone. It comes out in your voice. You literally have a way of being that you do no harm to another soul. You would not think of coming back or hurting them or throwing them under the bus or, you know, standing for, you know, something that is so hurtful to another. You just, it wouldn't be in your behavior. And it's not as if you even have to speak it. It's a way of being. It's a way of living. It's a way of oozing. Okay? Because one of the things you don't want to do is turn people off with words. And it's like, well, no I question. Said this. Well, I said and I right. asked for this. And I blah, 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 right. blah, blah. And, you know, it can become nauseating.
Yeah. So are mass murderers all unforgiving people? You know, like in the movie The Monster with Charlize Theron, where there's this woman that is murdering. She goes on a murdering spree, kills some 20-some people. And it's based on a true story. And then she's in court. And she runs, they're dragging her from the courtroom after her sentencing. She goes, I'm a raped woman and you know, how dare you? You know, I mean, so you can tell she's got horrible perpetrations. She can't forgive them and she's taking them out on everybody. Mm-hmm. Is that literally, does that mean that when we're dealing with murderers and perpetrators, we're dealing with people that just all they need is forgiveness?
Well, actually, the spark of light on the inside is so dim. It's so saturated with their own experiences of perpetration and betrayal and loss. And, you know, some murderers may think they're doing a favor, you know, to someone else, or at least they're giving themselves a tragic lift of, well, I feel better because at least I'm not the victim. You know, so there are scorched earth humans that, you know, they're purposeful too. They're purposeful in that there is a place for them to heal as well. And it may not even be in this lifetime, but other people are altered and shifted because of what they've done on this planet. And will they experience it in their lifetime? Maybe, maybe not. You know, but they came and to fulfill an experience of maybe being the darkest of the dark of the dark, you know, and in order to do that, they have to dim their light so low that they have forgotten who they really are. They have just forgotten their deepest in the dream.
Yeah. And you've actually, you know, professionally as a licensed psychotherapist, you've made it. You know, one of your focuses is to focus on forgiveness and the mastery of it. Where's for you one of the most inspiring stories of forgiveness that you personally have experienced or led somebody through this process, and seen its miraculous effects?
You know, thank you for asking that, because I'm going to use an example that is universal, that all people can relate to who have seen the play or the movie Les Miserables. And what happens to this perpetrator, this thief, who comes into a very wealthy home of a man, an older man, who's lived his life respectably and honorably. And this thief comes in and starts stealing what he's had, what he's worked for. And you can imagine that the owner of this home would just be incensed and how dare you, and calling the authorities. He would be in his rightful place to seek justice. Okay, how dare this person come in and take what I have worked for? Yet, this man in the play, in the movie Les Miserables, that I believe has made it timeless and masterful and lasted throughout the ages, and people go and marvel at the behavior of this man, because what he does as he catches this perpetrator in his home, the thief is stopped in his tracks. He stopped in his tracks. He turns around. He grabs two of his finest candlesticks. And he says, "Excuse me, sir, you forgot two of my finest." He hands them over his candlesticks. The man is so baffled by the behavior that the thief, takes them and runs off. He's tormented by the behavior of this man because it is it's superhuman. To me, those are the superheroes of today, and it has nothing to do with magic. It has everything to do with heartfelt compassion for another fellow being. And when you can get that your interests are not separate than another, you would do no harm. And that's what this man did. When he did that, everybody, you could feel just a sigh of like, oh my God, how is this possible? That is a world beyond this world. That is a space of operating under different laws, different universal exchanges of experience, something that is beyond right and wrong, justice, good and bad. It is beyond all of that, and says the man who was accomplished looked at the thief and said, I see you. And here, and the offering of that, the man goes on in the play to do something extraordinary with his life because of it. Now, we may not see the fruits of doing something like that. When we see something where somebody pays it forward, where I was looking at an email my mom sent me, and there was these random acts of kindness that people were doing for other people. You may not see the fruits of that, but just the act of doing it reminds you of who you are. And I mean, just even there was a dollar taped up on a vending machine, right? Where it says, hey, just paying it forward. This next snack is on me. And, you know, they may witness it and they may not witness it, but just the random acts of kindness like that. In fact, there was also a guest check that a couple was watching a family at a restaurant be very kind to their children, honoring their children. And it was a beautiful exchange, so much so that this other couple, they picked up the tab of their dinner and never made themselves known. And it said, you remind us of us when we were younger, trying to make it. And the way you honor your children and your family, this dinner's on us. Thank you and keep up the good work. Ah, that kind of behavior gives me goosebumps. That's beyond justice. That's beyond right and wrong. That's someone who's able to live in a space that says, oh my gosh, this is who I get to be because I can. That's what that man who was accomplished gave that thief those candlesticks because he could. That's awesome.
So what's the greatest experience you've personally had with your own personal forgiveness?
One of the greatest experiences is being able to come back home after something of a perceived horrific injustice that I could have held on to. And I won't go into detail, but it could have cut me off from a heritage that was rightfully mine as an heir, a joint heir to a kingdom that I could have left behind because I was right and I was righteous and I was justified. I could have literally cut myself off, remained bitter, tightened my lips, tightened everything inside of me, and died being right. And I would have missed out on the beauty and the synergistic exchange of love that I get to have now, because that is erased. It is gone. It is not a part of my experience. And there is a love that is beyond anything I could have ever dreamed or imagined that I get to share with you, with my own family. And I am grateful for that.
Yeah, and you know, there's one thing is you got to be very careful not to say, well, you know, I shifted from saying, you know, I was right and it was wrong to it was right, because no perpetration is right. Mm-hmm. But there's something about accepting that you're not right and it's not wrong.
Right.
That it's part of some greater plan that we can't see and literally don't have eyes to understand.
You know what? That is so beautiful. We are wrapping up. The next show is in like 20 seconds. And with that, that is such a beautiful ending there, Greg. Thank you so much for that. We cannot see what lies beyond. Appreciate, be grateful for what you've been given, and let go of the pain inside of the memory. Thank you guys for tuning in to Max and Friends. This was an honor, a privilege, and a pleasure. You guys have an amazing week, and you can get a hold of Greg and I at www.heartvirtue.com if you have any more questions. Have a great week. Good night, everybody.
Have a great night.